Hey, everybody, this is Steli Efti.
And this is Heaton Cha. And I think in true Steli and, I guess, Heaton form, Steli and me form, we're going to talk about something positive today.
I think we like talking about more than just sales and marketing.
We just want to bullshit and chat about business and life. And hopefully, while we're doing that, provide a lot of value to people.
The world's best business podcast.
Oh, shit. We got it.
For people trying to get shit done.
We don't want to give you feedback that's bullshit.
We want you to do your best.
And something that Steli came up with, I don't know when he came up with it, but I heard about it right now. And what it is I think something much needed right now, which is a discussion about what we're seeing that's actually working in business right now, considering shelter in place, COVID out of control. I think somebody called this Armageddon or something like that to me 5 minutes ago before I got on this.
Oh, really?
Yeah, they called it Armageddon. They're like, yeah, how are you doing with the current Armageddon? Blah, blah, blah. I'm like, I'm doing as fine as I can and definitely better than a lot of people. So I can't really complain about anything. And so, yeah, let's talk about it. Like, I think the big thing was like what businesses, what approaches are sort of working right now for people that we can kind of talk about, right?
Yeah, I thought that it'd be a good idea to just share some examples in our network or within our friends or anywhere that we've observed, that we've seen over the last couple of months that we thought, wow, this is inspiring or this is cool that somebody is creative or innovating or adapting and changing and succeeding in some way, finding opportunity even in these difficult times. Just to give people inspiration to stimulate them, and just because we have enough of the critical things that we read and hear about every single day. And so however we want to do this, you can go first, I can go first with examples, and we'll go back and forth, and I'm sure we'll come up with and be able to share a bunch of good stuff with people.
Yeah, go ahead. Yeah.
So the first thing that I'll bring up is, actually, I want to go outside of tech, right? So cool. When this whole, at the very beginning, like the beginning of COVID being a bigger thing in Europe, I remember that in the first few weeks, there was this shortage of masks, right? It's not a problem anymore. Like, this is kind of a past problem. But while it was a big kind of surging demand and problem, I remember that people were trying to research and figure out where locally can I buy some masks, because nobody could order anything online and get it. And I remember that I heard from a friend about a little store that was, I don't even know the English word for that. You know those stores that do leather work? They kind of fix your shoes, or if you're
a tailor, like equivalent to that.
Yeah.
Something like that.
He's like, there's a small tailor in this town that's like 20 minutes from where I live that has and does masks. Just go to him, but go. You have to have time because there's a huge line outside of his little store.
Okay.
And so I go there, and you know, the whole like shop window is full of these all kinds of design masks, all kinds of flavors for kids, for this, for that. And there's a huge line outside it's a tiny store, really. So I wait in line. Eventually, I get inside, and I wanted to buy some masks for my family, for kids, for relatives. And I start chatting up the guy that was running that tailor store. And the first thing that I noticed, that as I entered, there were all these like thank you letters that he had hung up from local hospitals and doctor's offices. And I was like, oh, that's cool. Did you just supply all these people? And he's like, yeah, all these kind of hospitals and like medical professionals in the area had a difficult time obtaining masks. Now, some of the masks that I do hit the medical grade, but I am not getting certification for it, right? That would be too difficult, but they still wanted them. So I've been just donating them. And he's like, and the other reason I have this, to be honest, is it's just good marketing. Like, people just feel good when they see this. And so, you know, I thought it'd be a good idea. I'm like, oh, cool. And then I asked him, I'm like, how many other tailors are doing this? And he started laughing, and he was like, nobody does this except me. And I was like, why is that? He's like, well, the thing is, tailors are not very entrepreneurial. They're very risk averse. And honestly, what I'm doing is sort of maybe questionably legal, right? So he's like, there was twice that police had shown up to talk to him to see if he's allowed to turn this into like a mask shop or whatever. And once they saw all the letters from all the thank you letters from the medical community, and they talked to him, they just left again. They're like, this is fine. He's just providing a service. He's helping the community. It's cool. And he had like basically a bunch of women that would kind of build these masks in his tailor store. And he's like, I've never been busier in my life. I'm making a ton of money right now. And I don't feel like I'm taking advantage of people. I'm providing a service, giving people something. I've priced my masks. I could price them three times the amount and people would still buy them. But I priced them at some margin where I feel like I'm making good money, but I'm also fair. They're still affordable to people. And I'm just raking in it. But the reason why other tailors wouldn't be doing this is because they'd be too afraid if they're allowed or not, if they get in trouble, and they're just not flexible enough to be like, you know what? Nobody's going to come into the store to fix their leather shoes right now. But there is a huge demand for an item that nobody has and we could easily provide. And that was one of my favorite examples of just somebody being creative, being positive, adapting, changing what he's doing and crushing it. There's a, like, for weeks, there were lines out of that person's shop. And, you know, and the other benefit of that is I'm never going to forget that guy. And I don't go to the tailor that often, but if I need to, I'm going to him. I'm just going to that store.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
So that's one of my kind of small local stories that I really love and that was inspiring for me to see.
Yeah, I'm going to continue the trend. So, and that's amazing. I mean, that there's so many levels of that are amazing. Like, you know, part of it is like, he just didn't let things that he knew, you know, would get in the way of other people get in the way of him.
Yeah.
From doing it. And I think that's super powerful. I mean, legal or not, he was providing a service and people needed it. Right. And that they're a product and people needed it. And it was their choice whether they took it from him or not, you know, and by donating it, I think he's definitely skirting a lot of things in a good enough way. Right. And at a time like this, I think it's difficult for people to get in trouble on some small things like that. And it kind of, what matters more is that people are sort of taken care of. So kind of on that note, like I've been most impressed by the amount of restaurants that I'm seeing really iterate. And ones that I was most impressed by are the ones that iterated super early their whole model. And they started doing like take home meal kits and like where you could make that spaghetti that you love from that Italian place at home. And they gave you all the ingredients to do it. And so that was what happened really early on when even like food, like pickup was not acceptable. And that was really crazy, like to see, even like watching them iterate through a few different platforms to help them sort of sell was kind of fun to see, just being in tech and all that. And then lately, like just the amount of creativity to be able to provide people with food that's of restaurant quality that you can pick up from restaurants that didn't do takeout. And the just watching the menus iterate, like you could just tell like they were really focused on optimizing their business so that they could survive during this time. And they were iterating it and kept changing things until they found things that worked and also used Instagram heavily to do this. It's just been impressive to me to watch this. I even saw something else that was interesting, which is like if one sort of restaurant figured it out, what you'd have is like you even had these things where like if it was like, let's say a sweet shop, right, that mostly sold sweets, vegan sweets or something like that. This is the one that comes to mind. They'd go partner with like a savory shop, right? Like somebody who made sandwiches, for example. And then they'd start bundling them together. And it's because one of them had a audience and they were already buying from them. And so they decided to basically partner up. And you started seeing all these collaborations, so to speak, start happening and combinations of things you could buy. And these were just restaurants doing it, right? So you kind of saw this sort of almost call to arms and folks kind of like partnering up and then using Instagram for the marketing and sort of creating the equivalent of like bundling multiple products together and selling it to the audience. Really, really cool. Another thing I've seen is like just more focus on like, oh, these are items we use in our kitchen to cook with, whether it's like these special kind of canned tomatoes or what have you. And outside of even the meal kits and making your own meals, a bunch of these folks were just selling that stuff. Just like for a long time, and I think this is a pretty funny one, but people were selling their excess toilet paper, right? Because the commercial category did not like had an oversupply and the consumer one had a undersupply. And so they started doing that and kind of necessities, even though they're a restaurant, but they have these items. Mm. That was really cool. Some of them started bundling it with the food. So, hey, buy some food, get some toilet paper. Wow. So I think that was really cool. And one other example I've had is there's a company I know that sort of is a pretty popular tea shop in the Bay Area. And they tried some of the iterations around like meal kits and stuff like that. They even gave away a certain item like every day, whether you bought or not. So they were really like community focused. They shut down all that stuff recently. But the reason they shut it down is they're going to a full on like tea box, sell it online from their website model. And they call it going into hibernation. So they're going into hibernation with their stores and really focusing all their efforts on e-commerce. And I know they've been setting that up for like the last 1 or 2 months because that takes a little bit of time, but they've been doing it really fast. Like normally it would be like a 6-month thing for them to figure out how to sell something like a tea box or something like that for people, or a tea subscription and stuff like that, just because of branding and sort of things like that. Like they're not necessarily the fastest because they really kind of think about a lot of these things and kind of do them well. And then I was actually speaking to them and I just told them like, do you really need to change the branding? Why don't you just slap your own current logos on it and kind of ship it and just figure out what the actual package is? Cause like, I think like, or figure out what you put in the package and what people really want with, you know, what kind of tea they want on a subscription that they drink regularly. And kind of they caught on to that and latched on to that. And basically were able to ship this like in a month or two, the whole thing, versus something that I know they would have taken 6 months to do otherwise. So it's that sort of like, you know, hustle, so to speak, that I find important right now. And the ones that seem to be succeeding are the ones that are able to iterate and figure it out and think about it that way.
Yeah, I love that. All right. So I think last example from my end, and then we'll wrap up the episode for today. So in a similar vein, basically, a startup that was kind of building and selling mostly stuff that you would wear going to the gym. So their flagship item would be like a gym bag that you can also have used to go to the office with. So, you know, it has like all these cool hacks to have your laptop in there and phones and everything, but also like kind of the perfect bag for an active professional, somebody that wants to go to the gym and to the office with one bag. That was kind of the main seller. And then they had a bunch of other little items, but it's all around the idea of going to the gym and going to work. And then, you know, COVID hits and nobody's going to the gym or to work. So their sales basically went to zero, right?
Yep.
Nobody buying any of these items. And so what they did then was think, okay, we have a customer base, right? We know these people. These are like young professionals. We know that they're really, you know, athletically active. Like they want to do sports and now they're stuck home. And we know that they are always kind of self-optimizing and kind of like trying to improve themselves. What can we do? What can we offer these people to keep generating revenue, to offer a service or a product or something of that sort? And they, I think at first they tried to figure out if they could come up with some like home gym equipment thing, but they quickly realized that all their kind of R&D and development was in such a different direction. There was nothing quickly that they thought they could both come up with and then successfully sell during that time. So they came up with a totally different approach. They sent a survey to the customers, asking them a bunch of questions on like what their current struggles and challenges are, what they're currently interested in. And then they came up with this idea to sell basically a, I don't know what you want to call it, like almost like a virtual fitness boot camp of sorts, where what you would do is you would say, I'm interested in keep improving my body and mind even during these times. And what I'm going to get is basically a 6-month coaching program where, you know, whatever, once a week I'm on a Zoom call and, you know, I'm sharing some of my results and some of the data and I'm getting coached in these improvements. And there's going to be like different themes. The first month is like about sleep and recovery. So they would ship you like a sleeping tracker band, and then they would review the data with you and they'll give you suggestions on how to improve your sleep and they'll check